Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for March 31st in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We call it the blueprint for liberty. The checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely brilliant. The checks and balances make sure government doesn't get too powerful. Why doesn't it work, you say? Because the American people simply are not involved. Because we don't demand accountability by our leaders. They break the law, and we just simply turn the other way and ignore it. I mean, look, you got an illegal alien sitting in the White House right now without proof of his birth certificate. You're about to run other men for office who have the same political, legal problems with their qualifying. They don't constitutionally qualify, folks, from Barack on down. Marco Rubio doesn't constitutionally qualify. Ted Cruz doesn't constitutionally qualify. The debate rages on. You say, well, Sam, come on, there's so many different legal interpretations, and why even get close to the edge on this one, folks? There's plenty of people that could serve as president of the United States without thinking that we have to depend on one man that has constitutional questions. In the Constitution, it says parents, right? Ted Cruz does not have a citizen parent father. Ted Cruz was born in Canada with a Cuban father. It doesn't get more clear than that if you ask my humble opinion. But the debate continues to rage on, and they say it'll take a constitutional amendment to settle it. They say that it'll take some legalese or court case decisions to settle it. I submit to you folks that if we go down this road and we always push every discussion to the edge, every discussion into no man's land, you know what? We're violating the spirit of the founders. The founders were very simple in their intentions. They clearly wanted America to be front and center. They wanted America to be protected. Everything we're doing now seems to be pushing the envelope, constitutionally speaking. All right, welcome to the broadcast. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby are indeed live from the road. We are in Carson City, Nevada. We are getting ready to join Ammon Bundy for a rally. I guess they changed the time of the rally from 11 a.m. to noon, Nevada or Pacific time. So we'll be at the rally that's at the Capitol. It's the, Nevada State Capitol in Carson City. And then we'll have the rally, and then as far as we understand, the hearing starts at 1:30. We will be live there in fine form and ready to go. Let's see. We talked yesterday a little bit about taxes. New taxes means your wallet will be a little lighter. We talked about transportation and education in the Utah State Legislature. Front and center, they had $100 million in additional funding in the 2015 legislature. It's the biggest tax increase in 2 decades. They claim it was long overdue, but Kurt and Sam say food, politics, and fantastic solutions as we turn towards God. We talked about the natural life, or they call it a matters of life and death bill. And they allow shooting babies right through the heart with poison. Wow, that's in New York, folks. New York Assembly passes abortion measure as part of, quote, Women's Equality Act, or Women's Equality Act. It doesn't sound like equality for babies for me. Wow, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about delete, erase, and shred. Enemies of federal record keepers, the Associated Press article. We also talked about this yoga instructor that flashed and abused children. Wow, we talked about the board in Utah. It's the transportation board. It's called the UTA, Utah Transit Authority Transportation Board. They gave increase for monies or raises to their people. No wonder they had to raise taxes for transportation, huh? Heaven Can Wait, Christian bookstore decides to put heaven on hold, taking books off their sales shelves, I should say. Sam and Kurt on the road. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We are here in Nevada. And I want to talk a little bit about this crash pilot. Kurt had a news story. Kurt, we predicted this early on. We said we didn't have the facts, but now the facts are coming out. We said, I bet this guy was on psychotropic drugs. That's this big plane crash that happened. Crash pilot was psychiatric patient. I guess he planned a big gesture. The report is he had a small amount of antidepressants in his apartment, Kurt.
A small mountain.
Oh, a small mountain. Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess it's not a small amount, is it?
No.
A small mountain of, what does that mean? How do you get so much of that stuff? Every time we find out that someone runs off the rails, Kurt, or melts down, every single time it seems, we run into a situation where there's these psychotropic drugs. We even predicted it, guessed that was the case before we even had the facts. They say it's a heinous act that'll be remembered forever. Kurt, do you want to comment on this one? This is just crazy every single time, isn't it?
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. And once again, that's the facts. Now, most folks, though, have not been told about that. The only thing they really know is that, some guy went, he just committed suicide and took the whole plane with him. Now, you know, it's like these, like that story about the lady that had those problems with the 15-year-old boys. Unless you read the story really closely, you won't even know that, hey, alcohol was a big, big contributor. And in this story with the airplane crash, you know, in my opinion, the pharmaceutical industry has a big, big role that they've played. And, of course, the advertisers, you got to remember, these big advertisers, the big pharmaceutical companies fund much of the media. And so then they buy their silence, don't they, Sam?
They do, and the sad part about that is it's so consistent, ladies and gentlemen, that without the partnership of the mainstream press, they would never get away with this stuff. Okay, these psychotropic drugs are a lethal combination, and I don't know exactly how they fit in. I'm not a scientist. I know that they mess with the chemicals in your brain, but where the anger comes from, where the planning and plotting comes from in this is amazing to me. On one hand, you think people that are on psychotropic drugs oftentimes struggle with communication skills or struggle with daily living skills. That's not true, folks. They're very incredibly high functioning. At the same time, they somehow just get squirrely. They somehow go off the rails. It's a heinous act that'll be remembered forever. And we want to focus on this a little bit just because we see this happening with ever increasing frequency in America. Why that is, I don't know. But we've got to do something about it. The first thing we've got to do is bring attention to it. How do we force a discussion in the mainstream press with regards to this? You bring it up, they say, oh, you're psychotic. Come on. These drugs have been tested by the Food and Drug Administration. They're safe and effective. Come on. But every time you say, this guy was being treated by a psychiatrist or psychologist. He was a patient, mentally disturbed. There was a note by the doctor saying, oh, you shouldn't go to work, but somehow that got ripped up and he went to work anyway. What is it with always being involved with a psychiatrist or something, always on these medications, and then the lethal is, what other trigger? What makes it happen? And I submit to you that these drugs, you know that in a certain amount of the population, they will make them violent and go crazy. What I'm not sure that I understand is exactly how, who, when, where, what kind of an idea. But this is over the top. We knew it. The second we saw this plane crash, we're like, hey, this is crazy. I don't know why this guy would do this. But you put lethal drugs approved by your government, and then you end up with a bigger problem than you could possibly imagine. Now, Kurt, there's a big story. I don't know if you've seen this story. It's in the news in the state of Utah, and the headline basically says, hey, do psychotropic drugs, does depression medications work in Utah? And what they mean is there's a big discussion scientifically about high altitude climates and that these medications don't work in these climates, these high altitude situations. And they were trying to figure out why. And they believe it has to do with oxygen to the brain or the amount of oxygen one gets when you get above, I can't remember how many feet it was, but above 2,000 feet than this and 3,000 feet than this. Well, Utah's at about 40. Depending on where you are in Utah, but anyway, it's anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 feet for most of us. And they say that's a serious issue. Do you think they're right? Do you think there's something to this?
You know, I know that they like to, on these studies, have everything controlled as much as possible. Because, of course, that means that, you know, they've got, more of a playing field that they can understand. And so, you know, at least we've seen some instances recently where they've even talked about this whole suicide thing being maybe more prevalent in the higher elevations, you know. But to me, it's, you know, the real conversation about the psychotropic or the pharmaceutical industry is, hey, are these actually helpful at all? Or is the cure worse than the disease? You know what I'm saying?
And I would say that the cure is worse than the disease in most cases. Now, you know, the problem is, you know, there's so many reports of people that they claim that when they take these medications, they do better. You know, some people may not. I believe that what, in a lot of cases, what we're doing is masking the symptoms. Oftentimes, we make the symptoms worse. You know, you hear someone's on these psychotropic drugs, and if they don't get their drugs, they go berserk. But what happens if they have their drugs and they go berserk? I mean, this guy basically had a mountain, a small mountain of these drugs. He had them. Did he have a small mountain in his apartment, but he wasn't taking any? You know, we don't have all the details, but we know this. Every time something goes just horrifically wrong, just over the top, heinous act, belligerent, crazy, take out as many people as you can as you go kind of hatred, we see these drugs involved. Or somehow these drugs are present somewhere, somehow. And that's the problem that I see, is it just seems to be getting worse, not better. Our prayers are with the families of all those who have lost life. And we'll move on from this story now, but it's just amazing to me. The second I heard about this thing, I'm like, man, I know this thing's going to have legs for psychotropic drugs. Now it turns out he was a psychiatric patient. Again, the psychiatrist involved, the drugs involved. I don't believe this stuff is really by accident. I really don't. All right, there's another story about Amazon that I find interesting. I kind of wanted to mention also. The headline for the mainstream press says, to gain the upper hand, Amazon disrupts itself. The story is by David Streetfeld. And it says, sometime last year, a quarter of $1 billion went missing at Amazon. You heard me, a quarter of $1 billion. Investors were expecting the usual absolutely awesome gangbusters third quarter. But you know what? They say you look at the disrupting results or disappointing results, and Amazon's struggling. Why? Well, they're known for selling devices, entertainment, services, everything from electronics to toilet paper to on down the list. They say there will be a time when even your groceries will be flowing through one pipe, that is Amazon. That's what Scott Galloway said. Scott happens to be a professor of marketing at New York University's School of Business. I find that interesting. They say they will have your credit card purchase history. They will have everything. Amazon says their debt offering is going to give them the money to make this happen. Their drones will deliver. And they don't want to own a piece of retail. They want to own all retail. The risks are great, ladies and gentlemen. Amazon literally needs to be aggressive. But the problem is that that behavior can backfire. Some analysts say that, hey, let's say you have North American media sales. That's just a teeny little department of Amazon. If it has less revenue, well, then that kind of disrupts the whole business, right? Well, there's a way to solve that, they claim. Okay. The idea would be, what if we get constructive criticism from customers? Anyway, they go on and they talk about people need to stretch their entertainment dollars. People just don't have endless money. But you know what? They believe that with Prime shipping, with streaming, they can make the change. Amazon does not give numbers of Prime subscribers, but everybody knows that it's absolutely huge. So the question becomes, if they offer this free shipping, this Prime, this free streaming, all these things? Does it disrupt other business? Well, e-commerce experts say the future belongs to what's called multi-channel merchants. Those are the people who let you order product online and then pick up in a physical location. Or imagine this. What if you ship online, but you allow people to pick up at a physical location? Or what if you could take returns for products you bought online to a physical location to return them? They're working on this, folks. And that's kind of the big key, is if you can do the online thing, reduce the size of your stores, but yet make it feel like you still got a store. So you can order something online, pick it up same day. You can, well, man, I don't like these shoes. I want to return them. Boom. Go down to your local store and return them. One of the groups, believe it or not, that's kind of on the forefront of this, you might not even realize this, but it's Comcast. Comcast has these little teeny stores. And what you do is you go into those stores and they serve as one, your payment center. Okay? And they've done this for literally years. It's your payment center, but it's also your problem center. Let's say that you have a modem for your internet or your phone lines that go bad. You can literally walk into the Comcast little teeny store where you know, do the payments and all that, and they'll just swap you out modems. And then you go home and put it in yourself. It's a beautiful system for Comcast because, hey, the IT guy is you. You go ahead and exchange that, then they'll help you over the phone solve it. They've got these little payment / distribution center. They're tiny, but they work well. Those are the folks that kind of pioneered this. Now, they may not get credit for it because they're not really in the traditional business. But the idea is have enough local presence, enough, quote, brick and mortar, so if you will, to literally make you feel like and believe that you're being cared for on a local basis. But yet have all the real goods and services and warehousing and distribution and support for that, quote, feeling of brick and mortar in the cloud. And they're doing that, Kurt, and they're doing it actually quite successfully. What do you think of that kind of model? Do you think that's the future? You're going to have a little teeny store that'll be kind of a show and tell for you to see and touch and hold products where you can maybe get a little bit of knowledge from somebody. And then you'll simply buy online. You'll be able to pick up at a distribution center. It'll be delivered to you. You'll be able to deal with returns locally. Your whole the face of the business will be local, but the real runnings of the scenes will be behind the scene, virtually in the cloud, online with support centers. You think it's a good model?
I think that you know that's what you're going to see. It kind of goes with this whole years ago in marketing they'd talk about inventory and supply and that kind of thing. It's FIFO and LIFO and you know that kind of thing. Life. And that would be last in, first out, and FIFO would be first in, first out. But the key things that they can do with the technology and the shipping and that kind of thing is they don't have to have huge amounts of product. They've typically got to have some, but then they can be responsive as soon as they, you know, deplete or get close to a certain number. They can get them in there the next in the next little while, either same day or next day, and they can have less big inventories, big warehouses. You know, it's kind of like, at least we've hoped that we'd see this more and more in the education world, of course, especially the government education world, where you've got all this online education that's available, and yet you still see these massive buildings, great and spacious buildings built by the government education establishment. They don't really want to embrace the new small brick and mortar and big online kind of thing because that means it's going to be less for their union boys, I think, Sam.
How much time?
We are at 1925.
All right, so you're right about that, Kurt. We need to move towards this model in education, but here's the problem with that. Business doesn't really necessarily need to control you. they can keep an eye on your budget and your wallet and your sales history and everything else. They've got kind of their tentacles in your life in a way that's meaningful to their bottom line when it comes to cash. But they don't really need to control you. All they want to do is make sure that you turn to them when it comes to spending the money time. Government wants to be in control of you all the time. And if they turn towards these online type educational opportunities, they lose significant control and significant money to the table. For the business, it means more money. But to the government, it means less money if we pursue this. In fact, governments are doing just the opposite. The latest headline from USA Today says this. More government schools charging for busing. Kurt, the latest trend in budget-crunched school systems as they continue to face these incredible budget cuts is to, well, charge a fee to let children ride the government bus. Yeah? More schools are charging for transportation all the time. And they're trying to deal with the recession by making cut after cut. And this is one of the ways that they feel like they can really make some money. Charge your kid for the bus. Not only is it in your taxes, but everything has a charge to it. Kurt, your thoughts?
Well, at least in this area, I am for them charging fees. In fact, I hope that they charge the complete cost of education to each of those students. And then what you'll see is a complete, well, just a run away from the government school system. I mean, we've seen this in the past where they'd talk about, a fee for camping or whatever. And, you know, the true cost of the item could, man, if it was really placed in the user, like, for example, they say the road tax is or whatever else, you'd have a huge exit, 2140. You'd have a huge exit from the government schools, so they'll just ratchet it up slowly, though, like they do with the books or whatever else. They're going to try to find all the sources of revenue that they can while they still hope to control all the students as well, Sam.
I think you're right about that, and I think we do need to charge the real cost of education, and if busing is part of that, they certainly need to put that into the reality check for folks. And one good thing that I do think is when they start charging parents part of it, parents will get frustrated. What we really got to do, and the hard part, is figuring out what part does the parent pay versus what part does the taxpayer pay. And what they love to do is charge you a low fee so that you believe that, hey, the busing only costs, $49 a year or whatever they want to fleece your wallet for this time, when the real cost, if you were to dig in, is much, much more than that. And that's kind of the big problem with the system. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are indeed live in Carson City, Nevada. We're getting ready to team up with Ammon Bundy and crew and head of the state of Nevada's committee regarding this bill for states' rights. We'll tell you about it coming up. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite news the networks refuse to use, talk radio station.
Listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on the road from Carson City, Nevada. Did you know Carson City is the capital of Nevada? I know it's not Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen. It's not even Reno. It's Carson City, Nevada. And what's fascinating about that is Carson City is about a quarter of the size of Reno. Carson City's got about 55,000 people in it. Reno has a little over 200,000 people. Vegas has what? A million? 2 million? I don't know, some crazy number. Nevertheless, the capital is in Carson City, but I have an idea that the politics are controlled for the whole state in Las Wages, to say the least. All right, this half hour of the broadcast is brought to you in part by TetonSports.com. When you want indoor comfort outdoors when you're camping, do it right with Teton Sports gear. You know, ladies and gentlemen, camping gear is important. And it's not only important when you're camping. I know that sounds crazy. But if you ever need to be forced on the road due to an emergency of some kind, either natural or man-made, you know what? You want to have camping gear. Sleeping bags, backpacks, cots, tents, self-inflating mattresses. It's the solution for you. TetonSports.com. Do it right with Teton Sports. Also, GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for Patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. All right, so we're talking about news the networks refuse to use today. We've got a bunch of stories. We are live from the road. We're going to be, today, we're going to be pre-recording several different tidbits from the road, from the rally. We'll get some audio, and we'll put it all together just for you from the, I don't know if I should say the courtroom. It's not really a courtroom. It'll be the congressional committee's event. They'll be testifying. What do they call that, Kurt? Will they testify at these events?
Yeah, hearings.
I guess they call them a hearing. It's not a courtroom, but it is a hearing. That doesn't make any sense to me exactly, but there you go. It's a committee hearing on this states' rights bill. Ammon Bundy, Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby, Rick Dalton, many others will be attending. They chartered a whole bus to come up for this event from Phoenix, and we want a great show of people. If you're near and about Carson City, join us. We'd love to see you. Anyway, we're going to be working on that, and we'll keep you up to speed on exactly the proceedings and the breakdown of what happens, etc., at the event. So without further ado, Kurt's got news. I guess there's, what, media mergers, Kurt? Is that what kind of going on?
Yep. Yeah, it looks like, Sam, the headline from the big boys, Reuters.com's got this headline, exclusive, Cablevision to make dollar offer for New York Daily News. Now, this goes along with your Well, he who owns the media makes the rules and these disruptive technology ideas, because the U.S. cable TV operator Cablevisions is planning to make an offer for the New York Daily News as early as this week, valuing the troubled tabloid at just $1. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. The offer would come 1 month after New York media and real estate magnate Mortimer Zuckerman said he was considering selling the newspaper, and he had hired Lazard LTD to assist with the process. They say it underscores the declining readership and plunging advertising revenue that have plagued the tabloid for years. You know, it's bottom line. It's the new media taking center stage once again, ladies and gentlemen. They say Cablevision's dollar bid to, you know, I mean, when you think about that, we could buy Cablevision, but, buy the New York Daily News for $1. But here's the details. Get this part. It takes into account the New York Daily News's reported $30 million annual loss. Now, an annual loss of $30 million, that makes it a little tougher to, you know, say you're profitable. But anyway, they also say they've got a $150 million investment in a printing press. Now, that's a sizable investment. And they've got, here's the real problem, declining circulation that relies heavily on newsstand sales rather than on subscriptions, the source said. So in the days, ladies and gentlemen, of the digital world that we live in now and the way that people are getting their news or accessing information, frankly, the old newspapers, the magazines, etc., are facing tough times because their ways are, the ways are changing, things are changing. And they say the source asked not to be identified, one more of those anonymous sources, by the way, because the offer has not been formally presented. You know, they didn't really get the $1 offer yet. Cablevision declined to comment, while a representative for the New York Daily News could not immediately be reached for a comment. You know, we couldn't find one right here at our place. They say, to be sure, newspapers are not the only part of the media industry which is struggling. Cable distributors such as Cablevision and its larger rivals have also been under pressure to stop consumers from dumping their cable subscriptions or cutting the cord as subscribers shift to internet services such as Netflix and Hulu. And let me tell you, they're doing that like in boatloads, and they don't mention the Roku player, but the bottom line is the Roku player is a big player as well here. And you can, of course, listen to Liberty Roundtable live on the Roku as well. Anyway, they say Cablevision also owns the suburban newspaper called Newsday. The company, which is controlled by New York's Dolan family, and it said recently its number of video customers fell 4.7% to 2.68 million in the fourth quarter that ended December 31. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, things are a-changing in the media world, and of course that's no big news because that's been happening all the time, but just one more sign of the new media taking center stage and the old, media going, hey, this isn't fair, this isn't what we planned on, etc., but that is happening. Now, in other news, there's some other very interesting news, in my opinion. There's a big headline from the boys there at the BBC.com, and the headline reads, 1,000-year-old onion and garlic eye remedy kills MRSA. Now, MRSA, they've been telling us that this is such an evil thing, and we don't really have any real drugs that can handle it, etc. You know, and we've been hearing this quite often, and, you know, I mean, you've got to have in a really... Well, I guess you could say a good plot. You've got to have a bad guy, and certainly MRSA has been found to be that. In fact, our buddy Sheriff Mack's wife even had to deal with MRSA, but it's interesting now. They say these scientists have recreated a 9th century Anglo-Saxon remedy that uses onion, garlic, and part of a cow's stomach. Now, I suppose the big pharmaceutical industry will want to, well, they'll want to patent this for sure, but they say they were astonished to find it almost completely wiped out. Well, they tell you the big name for it, the methylene-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, but they say it's otherwise known as MRSA. And it's interesting to see here they've, I don't know, I don't really think they're going to embrace it, but at least they've admitted that this, well, mixture of the, they call it the recipe for an eye salve that includes garlic, onion, or leeks, wine, and cow bile, well, it's done the job. And I think so many things are like that, but the standard big boys, especially the pharmaceutical industry, do not want to talk about that. And their media partners do not want to bring it forward simply because that means a big change for their economic factors, in my opinion. What do you think, Sam? Looks like 9:50.
All right, several tidbits on this. What do they call this new natural concoction, Kurt?
It's a 1,000-year-old onion.
A 1,000-year-old remedy, natural remedy for to fight MRSA. That's what, blood infection? Is that what it is, Kurt?
Well, it's the one that Sheriff Mack's wife has.
Yeah, but that's like a blood infection, right?
They call it MRSA. I don't know exactly.
All right, it's a blood infection.
Okay.
Infection of your blood in some way or whatever. And my response to that is this. The answer to your question, Kurt, is if they can somehow manipulate a patent on that sucker, they'll back it 1,000%. If they can make big money. If they can't somehow, then they'll just tell you how the study was kind of bogus or rigged or too small of a sampling to get a reality check on it. They'll go off on some goofball idea to just poo-poo the study and tell you how it's worthless and it doesn't really work, or it worked in some weird scenario, but it turns out that something, and they'll find some way to debunk it for sure if there's no money. And it's kind of a sad tale to tell because I do know the natural health and healing solutions do indeed work. It's really something that we really need to kind of consider. Those things do work. Those things do make a difference. But, you know, the mainstream press won't tell you about them. Now back to this, what was it, purchase of the New York Daily News, is that what it is?
Right.
By Univision?
Cablevision.
Or Cablevision, sorry. Cablevision buying the New York Daily News for a buck. And they say, well, you got to take into account this massive losses going on over there. My response is severalfold. One, Kurt, newspapers are failing because people don't read newspapers anymore. They're all digital, right? And it's inexpensive to go digital, and it's the way of the future. Okay, but what's this Univision? That's like TV, right, Kurt?
Well, this one's Cablevision.
Or Cablevision, I mean, but that's TV, right?
Yeah.
Right, but TV, those guys are melting down too, Kurt, because everybody's cutting a cord. So to me, what it sounds like is you got one failed business trying to buy another failed business to see how non-profitable they can be when they're done with a merger. I mean, it's just crazy talk. What on earth are these people buying each other for? They're all failing. They're all melting down. They're all going under. But you know what it really reminds me of, Kurt? It's not a matter of money to these people. It's a matter of controlling of assets. And so if you can merge a newspaper, one news outlet, with a TV kind of entity, another huge media outlet, you control the eyes and the ears of a lot of New Yorkers, Kurt, and a lot of people across the country. And I believe that's what the real power play is all about. It's not about the money. They don't care if they buy it for $1 or $1 billion or $10 billion. They don't care. They don't care if there's massive wins or, you know, financial prosperity. What, in the black, is that what they call it? or if they're flat out in the red. They don't care about that stuff, Kurt. It isn't a matter of money. It's a matter of control and making sure that you and I remain the tiny guys, and most Americans cannot hear our message. That's what this is about. Otherwise, why wouldn't they just randomly go, golly jeepers, it's only a dollar. We're going to sell this to some small guy out there. Hey, you know what? Email in, and we'll put you in the hat, and we'll stir that dude up, and we'll let some lucky small fry in the media become overnight just this massive success out of nowhere. Why wouldn't they do something like that, Kurt? Because it's not a matter of the dollar. It's not a matter of the sale. It's a matter of consolidation and control. And so I think that story is important. And that way, next time this some thousand-year-old natural remedy comes out to try to solve MRSA, we can just debunk that through our failed entities. But the real question becomes, is it a failed, losing entity? And it all depends on what you determine as a failure or a success. Money, it's a failure, but they don't care. They're in bed with the folks that have the printing presses, right, Kurt? They're interested in the control of the minds and hearts and the brainwashing or indoctrinating of the American people. That's what it's about to them, in my humble opinion. All right, what else do we got in the news, Kurt?
You know, you remember a little while back, Sam, when the illustrious Vice President Joe Biden, there was the swearing-in of the new Defense Secretary, Mr. Ashton Carter, and to the side, basically, when you're looking at him from the front, just to the left of him was his wife, and right behind her was our Vice President. And Vice is probably a pretty good name for him, Joe Biden. Anyway, I guess Mr. Carter, the new defense secretary, was asked in some interviews, you know, kind of about different thing. They call it a wide-ranging interviews. The Today.com boys have this piece. And, he was asked about a few things like ISIS and, you know, how long the victory would take and stuff like that. But he was also asked about Joe Biden groping or whatever you want to call it. They asked him if he laughed or cringed when he saw the video of the vice president getting up close and personal with his wife and his swearing in. He replied, "I laughed. They know each other extremely well. We're great friends of the Bidens." Now, I don't know. All I can say is, I'm not surprised, but I guess that's kind of how you get to be Secretary of, Defense? It's always been this way. You've got to know somebody to get the job. And in this case, looks like they know each other very well, huh, Sam?
Well, when you say that somebody knows your wife extremely well, and then they're hitting on your wife and you think it's comical? I don't really even know how to address that, Kurt, but I would wonder what extremely well really means. And I don't mean to cast dispersions or rumors or whatever the word might be on these people, but I'm just saying, why would you laugh? And why would your response be, you know, he knows my wife extremely well? I mean, if drunk Grandpa Biden that picks up on every woman he can possibly see in public is hitting on your wife and it's a laughing matter, I'm just telling you, these people have misplaced priorities, Kurt. Now, I know on one hand, you don't want to go against Joe Biden. You're saying, man, I don't want to really make a big thing out of this. Even if I'm not happy about it, I kind of got to downplay it. To some degree, I get that. But you don't say, "I laughed. He knows my woman extremely well." Well, I hope it isn't in the biblical sense is all I'm talking about. I don't mean to be rude. I'm just saying, why would you respond like that? What you would say is, you know, hey, you know what? It made me uncomfortable, but that's just Joe. He doesn't mean any harm. We know him quite well. He's just kind of like Grandpa Joe, and he was just being nice to her. You know, he kind of thinks of my wife as his daughter like he does every girl in America and whatever. You know, you can play it off like that, I get it. But to say, "I laughed, I thought it was awesome. He knows my woman extremely well," I'm just going, what? Have you lost your mind? But again, This is the promiscuous world that we find ourselves in, huh, Kurt? Time checking.
You couldn't be more right, Sam. It looks like we're at 18. You know, it's just incredible. Now, there's a few other new, items in the news. Looks like McDonald's is now, they're trying to work out in this whole new, technologically advanced world where there's all these changes. McDonald's is making some moves. Now, they're in Germany. The headline from the Yahoo.com boy says that McDonald's is going to start introducing table service. Now, I guess at least the way I understand that, it means instead of you just going to the counter, you know, you go in and sit down, and then they'll come around and take your order and bring you your food. So anyway, they say they're going to be the waiter or waitress will be carrying a tablet PC. They say it's completely new for McDonald's. That's what Thomas Brand, head of development and restaurant innovation for Germany, told a company magazine. The special edition, they say, was handed out to guests at the reopening after renovation of the restaurant. It's McDonald's biggest in Germany, and it has more than 500 seats. So, their McDonald's, in my opinion, seem to be a little different than the ones I'm used to. They do say they're going to have breakfast all day for you. So, now, one of the points that I would like to make here is this shows you what competition does. McDonald's is responding to all of their competition, and they're trying to get some business. Now, wouldn't that be a good thing for government to learn when it comes to education and what I call sick care, what everybody else calls health care? Imagine if you really have true competition there where the private sector can compete, you end up with a better product just like you do in the, fast food and food world, don't you, Sam?
Time.
Looks like 2018.
All right, I don't even know what to say about this, Kurt. What's kind of the story with this thing?
Well, you got McDonald's.
Okay, so they got these iPads or whatever, and they're trying to become like a modern restaurant.
Yep.
And I made this point, what was it, yesterday to some friends we were with, Kurt? It's like it's more expensive to go to fast food restaurants now than almost a sit-down restaurant.
That's right.
And I don't know why that is. The food's not near as good. I don't know if they're just selling the convenience, but what they've got is they try to move into the upper end of dining, so to speak. I mean, I remember even McDonald's tried to have a Valentine's Day, candlelight McDonald's dinner? Is that how it went, Kurt, when we reported that in the news? I mean, you know, the idea to me and you is laughable. But it isn't laughable because they're obviously successful. Now, I don't know that I want to meet the guy that would take his woman to Valentine's Day at McDonald's. But I'm just saying, and I don't mean to offend you if that's what you did, okay? But I'm just telling you that why these people think they can do this, I don't know. But I've gotten to where I've almost, unless I'm forced to because I'm on the road and I got to travel while I eat or something like that, I avoid fast food restaurants, virtually all of them, like the plague, Kurt. Because they don't have good food. Their service, for the most part, is horrible. It's horrible. And so I don't really know what to say about it, except for all their attempts to move into a high-end chain, I think are going to fail, Kurt. The more they move into that, okay, you got to avoid two things. You got to avoid the dollar menu where everything's just cheap, because you get into cheap ingredients when you do that. You're always cutting corners, always trying to play the low-cost leader. That never plays very well, Kurt. But then you got to also avoid kind of the high-end restaurant stuff. I mean, come on, candlelight dinner at McDonald's, these nice cash registers slash, you know, you can order with your iPad or whatever kind of stuff. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not convinced either of those play well. Where the fast food industry, in my opinion, should be is reasonably low cost with quality ingredients and the best service speedily delivered on the planet. Jimmy John's kind of has the summary, in my opinion, for the point I'm making is, freaky fast delivery, right? That's what they say. And I think there's something to that, Kurt. Let's get our time and we'll wrap up this here
We are at 22:45.
All right, you have about 3 minutes.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's pretty incredible to see. You know, the point at least that I wanted to make about the whole McDonald's deals is at least you've got competition in the world of food. And, you know, I got to agree with you, Sam. You know, our experience on the way here to Carson City, you know, we stopped at a, what was it called, Jack in the Box. And, you know, I can't tell you if I've ever had a worse taco, but I don't think I have. And, you know, I suppose Jack in the Box is really not known for tacos, but, you know, they're, it seemed like all places are trying to move, almost all of them are trying to move to, you know, hey, we've got everything. Whereas the ones that seem to be the most impressive to me, they still they stay with their basic stuff. You know, kind of like America, if we actually stayed with our basic constitution and something that worked, how much better would we be off? You know, you've got the guys like the, oh, you know, at 24 right now. Anyway, you've got the In-N-Out Burger guys. They don't really have a whole bunch of options, but they do a good job.
Well, and I think you're right, Kurt. And what they say in business oftentimes is do what you do best, focus on your core, and outsource the rest. And I kind of think that's, you know, what we really need to have happen here. I think that if you have a middle of the road, middle of the cost, very well, all I can tell you is Jimmy John's does a great job. They're more expensive than the cheapest sandwiches out there, but they've got quality ingredients and they're not as expensive as most places. That sweet spot is where the fast food industry ought to be. That's just my two cents. All right, we are broadcasting live from the road, ladies and gentlemen. We are in Carson City, Nevada, and we'll be getting a lot of details from the events today for tomorrow's broadcast. So thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. You want to turn your phone into a radio? It's simple and free. Simply smile and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, you're going to help? LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure. Hey, thanks.